Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, there are reports that Myanmar police fired stun grenades to disperse protesters in the city of Yangon today, as foreign ministers of neighboring countries were due to hold talks with the military in an effort to quell deadly violence. According to reports, at least 21 protesters have been killed since the turmoil began. The army said at least one policeman was killed as well. ASEAN ministers are said to be encouraging dialogue between Ms. Suu Kyi and the junta. To find out more about the latest developments out of Myanmar, what they mean for regional trade partners and Myanmar's economy, we're joined today by Pushan Dutt, and he's Professor for Economics and Political Sciences at INSEAD. Pushan, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
So Pushan, a lot has been happening in Myanmar over the last few weeks since turmoil began. The coup began on February 1st. Of course, we've got the ASEAN ministers in discussions today. What's your take on the latest events out of Myanmar?
So in a sense, you know, the ongoing thing, it's getting more and more worrying. And the key question, however, still remains the same, which is, what will it take for the military to back down and restore democracy? Now, unfortunately, this is not easy to do. So on February 10th, the US, the Biden administration imposed sanctions, froze some assets of the military. Canada and UK did something similar. Even the World Bank stepped in. Now, sanctions have a familiar ring to it nowadays. There is democracy reversal in some countries, and then in come the sanctions. But if you look at the research, it shows that they're actually not very effective. They work less than one third of the time. And sometimes they have the opposite effect, because, you know, they might create a humanitarian crisis like that happened in Yemen. They create a rallying around the dictator effect, and sometimes they accelerate crackdowns, as we are seeing happening in Myanmar. In other places, autocrats simply outweigh these things, and then the world moves on. So the question becomes, what does the world do? Unfortunately, again, there is no alternative. So military options obviously are off the table. So the best countries can do is to take a targeted approach and a multilateral approach. And this multilateral part is where ASEAN can actually take a lead role.
So what kind of discussions can ASEAN have, or what kind of role can they play in terms of the events that are taking place in Myanmar at the moment?
So from ASEAN's perspective, ASEAN sort of has a policy of not intervening in the affairs of other countries. So in the past, it has not taken a strong stance. Example would be Thailand. So Thailand had a coup, and the caretaker government was overthrown by a military junta, right? And the ASEAN sort of worked a little bit behind the scenes, as they've done with Myanmar in the past. So the best that we can expect from ASEAN is, some countries like Indonesia, Malaysia, and even Singapore giving strong statements. Thailand, you know, not really. Thailand simply shrugging. So within ASEAN, there is not much unity. So the best we can hope for is, you know, ASEAN speaks with one voice and at least works behind the scenes in order to improve the circumstances without being too aggressive about it.
And Pushan, you mentioned earlier measures taken by the World Bank, and the World Bank has halted payments to projects in Myanmar, according to reports on withdrawal requests that were made after the coup. Last year, the World Bank approved over $350 million in new loans and grants to aid Myanmar's pandemic efforts and to support farmers and rural employment. So what does this withdrawal mean for Myanmar?
So in my opinion, not much. We have to keep in mind that the World Bank is continuing to execute past projects. The second big intervention of the World Bank is, you know, providing COVID relief. And they have said that that's going to continue. The trade-off that all of these countries and multilateral institutions face is that if they push sanctions too hard, they end up hurting exactly the people that they're trying to help. So it's a very difficult choice for them. Like, should they push for very intensive sanctions and hope that the military budges But what if the military simply digs in, and then this is going to end up creating humanitarian crisis, slowdown in economic growth, which hurts the regular Myanmarese people?
We're speaking with Bhushan Dutt, Professor for Economics and Political Sciences at INSEAD. Bhushan, I've also read reports that thousands of truck drivers on strike in Myanmar protesting and protesting the military coup have also slowed delivery of imports, trapping cargo containers at ports and prompting at least one international shipping line to halt new orders. What does the current situation mean for Myanmar's trade and investment?
I think it's on trade and investment that the countries actually have the most leverage. For Myanmar, its growth prospects are critically tied to its participation in global markets. Mm-hmm. So even though Myanmar is a big country, 30% of its exports are 30% of its GDP, so being cut off from global trade will worsen its outlook very rapidly. But we still have to dig a little bit deeper and think about who does Myanmar really trade with. Most of Myanmar's trade is with other Asian countries, and two of its biggest partners are China and Thailand. Mm. Now, neither of them are likely to put a lot of pressure on Myanmar, which insulates it to some extent. China, because it is very sensitive to the circumstances and protests in Hong Kong, and because its relations with the US has deteriorated sharply following the trade war. And Thailand, as I just mentioned, since 2014, has had a military dictatorship in place. So neither are likely to play along with the rest of the countries. India and ASEAN may step in because they are the other sources of trade and investment, but ASEAN is not very united, and India has failed to play an active role in Myanmar in the past, especially in the context of the Rohingya crisis.
What industries are we looking at when we're talking trade with Myanmar, Bhushan? I understand that according to the WTO, Myanmar imported more than $1 billion in woven fabrics and sold about $2.4 billion in suits in 2019. So what kind of industries are we looking at that may possibly be impacted here, or as you mentioned, may have some trade leverage here?
So the primary exports of Myanmar, the biggest export of Myanmar is actually natural gas, followed by textiles, followed by gems and minerals. So now this does give the international committee leverage. Why? Because even though these are very important for Myanmar, if you look at natural gas and fuels and textiles, Myanmar exports are sort of like a blip on world markets. So it's not that Myanmar controls a resource like rare earth coming in from China or like oil from Saudi Arabia, on which the world relies heavily. So if I think the way to construct sanctions against Myanmar would be to actually avoid these labor-intensive industries like textile, footwear, etc., and target, these capital-intensive industries like gems, natural gas, minerals, etc. Why? Because the latter are not very labor or employment intensive. So you don't hurt the people of Myanmar. So it does not jeopardize their livelihoods. Second, many of the big players in fuel and minerals are either companies backed by the military or they're actually companies run by the military. So sanctions on these sectors have to be smarter, and then they can be more effective.
Well, Bhushan, thank you so much for sharing all your insights with us today. We look forward to having you back on the show again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Bhushan Dutt, Professor for Economics and Political Sciences at INSEAD, right here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.